to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Well, this past May, the elders went away on a prayer retreat. We do this every year. And Pastor Steve and I and Pastor Heather and all the elders, we got together and we began to pray about what God was saying over our house this year. Now remember, when you get a prophetic word, it is not a guarantee. It is an invitation to partner with the perfect will of God. And if you are a member of Mercy Culture, when there's a prophetic word on this house, it means that there's a prophetic word on your house. So the Lord said, Pastor Jasmine was worshiping on a backcountry porch, and I was on my knees, and as I was worshiping, the Lord said 2021 was gonna be a year of the supernatural. And as soon as he showed me that, I saw three things. First thing I saw was supernatural activity taking place in our congregation. The second thing I saw was supernatural personal growth that the members of Mercy Culture would experience. And the third thing I saw was supernatural numeric growth here in our community. So 2 weeks ago, I preached part one on the supernatural. The supernatural is what is beyond your ability. The supernatural typically it reveals itself when it scares you. When something is so big, it has to take God. Where no man can get the credit for it, that's how big it is. The supernatural is what is beyond you. It's when the Holy Spirit invades your natural and adds his super to it. In part two, we talked about supernatural personal growth. The word that I felt was that you would grow past any ability you ever thought you could. What I saw in the spirit was individuals for years trying to develop themselves, and you kept getting stuck. You kept struggling. And I saw this year you growing personally, you growing spiritually beyond where you ever thought you could. I saw people getting emotionally healed, spiritually healed, physically healed. I saw people forgiving people that they said, I never can forgive them for that. I saw a supernatural ability. And here's where it comes. That word supernatural in the Hebrew is the word doxa, or glory. And the scripture says that we go from glory to glory. What is that saying? That every God encounter we have and we behold him and reflect him, we begin to look more and more like him. And this year, as you come into the presence of God and experience the presence of God that is in this place and that will be in your daily encounter will begin to transform you. The third thing I saw was this supernatural numeric growth. And in fact, when I saw it, I got scared at first. And the reason I got scared is because I was nervous, because we've been supernaturally growing. If you're unaware, this church is 1 year and 9 months old. We've owned this building just for a year. And in the last year and 9 months, this church has already given away 52 million meals to our community. We're already busting at the seams. We don't have any more room in our children's center. We have to expand. We don't have any more room for our offices with our staff. I don't know if you've been by the food bank, but it's absolutely overflowing. We're gonna need a warehouse to store all this food that we're feeding the community. Look, we're already growing now. And then the Lord said, we just stepped into supernatural numeric growth. But here's what I want you to know. When I say supernatural numeric growth, I'm not talking about a big church. The goal was never a big church. The goal was more of the presence of God. The goal was to be in the presence of God. Watch, it's actually not a goal. It's an obsession. See, we can't get enough of his presence. We can't get enough of him. The whole goal is him. We didn't build this church around a man, a personality, a ministry, a worship expression. We built this church around the presence of God, from children's ministry to outreach to everything we do. That is the goal. So watch. So when I say supernatural numeric growth, it means this: more people encountering God. It means this: people that are lost and going to hell are gonna find Jesus and get saved. When I say supernatural numeric growth, watch, I mean people that are broken and hurting and jaded by church or experience church hurt could come out of unhealthy places, religious atmospheres, and get into the presence of God and get set free, healed, and delivered.
Can I be honest with you for a second?
So when you plant a church and it explodes, a lot of people ask this question, like, well, where are all these people coming from? And I'll have other ministers ask me, well, are they just coming from other churches? Where are they coming from? I'm like we stand in the door and take check. I don't know, where are you coming from? Where are you coming from? Where are you? And I've noticed this kind of sneak into conversation and a little bit of jealousy and maybe some insecurity rises up. And I've actually heard quite a few times people are like, well, you know, you want to make sure it's not transplant growth because that doesn't build the kingdom. And I'm like, well, it depends. Because some people are on transplant lists. And if they don't get a transplant, they die. Some people need spiritual transplants. Because they're not in a place where the Holy Spirit's welcome. They're not in a place where there's the presence of God. Watch, and they've been in a religious institution for years, but they're spiritually dying. Watch, there is no life without the Holy Spirit. There is no life without the Zoe presence of God. Listen, some people need His power
to bring dead things back to life.
We're not talking about our church getting bigger so we can tell church magazines how big we are. We don't submit numbers. What we're talking about is more people encountering God every single day. So we have to prepare. See, a lot of people go from prophetic word to prophetic word and prophetic word and jump around from conference and event and things and chase prophetic words and do nothing with them. See, we believe at Mercy Culture that we're to steward prophetic words. So that means this, that we take it, we hide it in our hearts, we pray over it, and we steward it. So I'm going to give you three things, three ways to steward supernatural growth at Mercy Culture Church. Three things, three ways to steward supernatural growth at Mercy Culture Church. The first is supernatural evangelism. Are you aware that people that don't know Jesus are going to hell? Now, as Christianity has grown in popularity, sometimes we can forget because we've made church so cool that it becomes a club versus God's institution to save humanity through the blood of Jesus. Watch, it's not about growing a church. It's about people that will go to hell if they don't find Jesus. Let me just pass to you for a second. Good people go to hell. Saved people go to heaven. Watch, it's not about us being good. And if you ask majority of people that don't know Jesus, they think that they will find their way to heaven if their good deeds outweigh their bads. Church, we are not good enough on our best day. It is only because the mercy of God. Watch, it's not my good deeds that outweigh my bad deeds. It's His blood that outweighs every deed. It's what He did for me that I cannot do for myself. Listen, there has got to be a burden for souls and supernatural growth. Matthew 13, 49 says, so will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the evil or the lost from the righteous or the saved. They will throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Over the holidays, I had a conversation with a family member. And we're talking, and it was that awkward moment where they started hoping things that aren't biblical and saying things that sound good, but they're not God. And I just leaned over and I said, hey, you understand that your family's going to hell if they don't know Jesus. It's an awesome holiday conversation. And the person I was talking to knows the Lord. But it's almost like in this Christianity that's been created for you, like this idol that we have created to serve us. See, sometimes we forgot that church isn't about us. It really isn't about us. See, I heard it so many times when we were planting the church. They're like, well, is your church geared to the lost or the saved? Like this profound question of determining, will I participate in your church? I'm like, whoa, what do you mean? Well, is your church attractional to draw people, or is your church more discipleship to feed people? And I was like, see, none of the above. Church is not for you. It's for him. No, we're not gathering for you. See, sometimes because there's flags up and coffee and other things to bless you, we thought it was actually for us. We don't choose the songs for you. We don't care if you think the music's too loud. I don't care if you think it's too cold. I'm sweating. Listen, it's not designed for you. I don't write messages for you to like me. That is not what we're doing here. The purpose is to be in the presence of God and worship him. It's not for us. It's for him. I'm asking you as your pastor, do you care your friends and families are going to hell? Do you care? That not that they will just be tortured beyond belief, burning for all eternity in a lake of fire. That's not even the bad part. The bad part is they can't get in the presence of God. See, people live in a living hell when they live outside the presence of God. Let me show you scripture. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God or those who did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer punishment of eternal destruction. Watch, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Watch, the greatest punishment of sin is not burning alive. The greatest punishment of sin is separation between you and God forever. Remember the first punishment of Adam and Eve. The punishment wasn't just childbearing and the land would produce thorns and thistles. It was they were removed from the presence of God. This is the greatest punishment of hell, is that you do not have access to the mercy of God any longer. Church, we have to save people. We have to care. We have to be burdened again. We can't be so consumed with me, myself, and I, and my life, and my vacation, and my retirement account, and my things, and all of this stuff of safety around me. And we put all of this work and energy into the stuff that will pass away in this life, and we do not care about eternity and souls. Let me ask you this question, is what will heaven be like without your family? Forever. Church, we have to care. Did you hear what I mean? We have to care about people's eternity. I give practical advice every week. So practically, how do I begin to evangelize? How do I begin to get people into the presence of God? Three easy things that you can do. First thing that you can do is invite people to church. Invite people in the presence of God. Do you know there's churches all over America that aren't open? Do you know there's churches all around Texas that aren't open? Invite people into the presence of God. Invite them here to encounter this. You come in here, you're like, whoa. We say all the time, it's like this every week. We're not joking. It's like this every single week. Because the presence of God is welcome. Because we don't make room for the Holy Spirit, we give him the whole room. That is why the presence is like this every week. Listen, just get them into the house. Just get them into the presence. It's amazing how many people are desperate for God and they're waiting on you to bring them. Second thing you can do that's so powerful, share on social media what God's doing here. Share your experiences. Every single week we have Mercy Culture Through Your Lens and people up in the balcony filming worship services and moments of the presence of God and people getting wrecked and sharing their stories and their experiences. I'm telling you, I hear it all the time. When I ask people, how'd you hear about Mercy Culture? It's 9.9 times out of 10, someone says, I saw someone's post, someone did it online, someone shared a video, and you share your experiences of encountering God. Share your daily encounters. Talk about what God's doing in your life. Listen, spread the word. I preached 2 weeks ago about what you see, what you behold, you will give birth to. Listen, share the presence of God so that people can experience it, be drawn to it, hear the message of the gospel, give their life to Jesus, and be saved. Third thing you can do is share your testimony. Share your testimony. What is your testimony? Your story of how you encountered God. Listen, that's so powerful because it does a few things. It breaks the spirit of fear off your life. It breaks the hold of shame. Listen, your testimony is not you telling how bad you were. Your testimony is telling how good God is. Look, it's not coming up with things that make people feel sorry for you and then how it turned around. No. It's just telling the truth about how legitimately messed up you were living your best life now. And then Jesus came on the scene and saved you free. He pulled you up out of the miry clay. He puts you on a rock. Listen, share your testimony. You know what I love about your testimony? It's never outdated because you're currently still living it. Not all you know this, my wife, who's a fiery preacher, prophetic leader, she was a drug addict, alcoholic teenager that overdosed on OxyContin and was passed out for 3 days. One of your pastors, drug addict, out of her mind, almost dies, then encounters God. I'll let her tell this story. She actually heard God for the first time as they were passing a bong at a party. True story. You're like, I was hearing the Lord. Watch, in the middle of that broken, hurting, lonely, needing a Jesus, needing a Savior, found God, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the presence of God, set on fire, and has been on fire ever single since. Pastor Charlie, drug addict, alcoholic, gets saved listening to a radio show, walks into a tent meeting, gets baptized in the Holy Ghost, been in the house of God all of his life ever since. Listen, there's so many of us that were messed up, that were jacked up, that needed a Savior, that royally screwed our lives up. But watch, then he came in. I don't want to force it on people. Whoa. Do you see what's being forced on people? You must not be in social media. Quit worrying about offending people. Hell will be worse than their offense. We need to be people that care about winning people. First way we create room for numeric growth is supernatural evangelism. Second way is supernatural giving. I'm gonna talk about giving. And I hope to offend you. What I love about being able to talk about giving in our church is we don't take time to pass the tithes and offering breaks buckets, and we don't take 10 minutes every day to do a motivational speech to get people to give. We teach obedience in this house. But your giving is supernatural. The action of the Bible is give. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, John 3:16. See, giving advances the kingdom. And so many people think that they get caught up because like I don't want to give to man or I don't want to give to church. No. You're giving to God. And if a man touches that, he will stand before God and be double judged. You are giving to God. Even if a church went and lit it on fire and burned it and wasted it, that gift was still unto the Lord. It is a gift unto God. But here's what people don't understand, is you're actually not even giving until after you have paid your tithe. If you're unfamiliar with that term, the word tithe is a tenth that the Bible teaches us to bring out of the 100% of money that we make, we bring 10% of it to the Lord, back to him. And it goes to God's house. It doesn't go to the Red Cross. It doesn't go to a nonprofit. It goes to God's house. That's where the tithe goes. And not a lot of people don't understand this, but you're actually not even giving until after you've honored God with your tithe. Malachi says in Malachi chapter 3, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me in tithes and offerings. Now, a lot of people have a hard time with this because they don't understand that when you withhold the tithe, you are robbing from God. And the reason why you're robbing from God is because it doesn't belong to you. And this is why so many people have a hard time tithing, is because they think their money is theirs. See, Proverbs says, everything in the earth is the Lord's. So not only is your money God's, you are God's. Your children are God's. That house you live in was made by His trees. Your jewelry is from His precious metals. But somehow we thought it is ours. You know what I hear all the time? I hear, I can't afford a tithe. Well, my response is, then how much money do you need to make to obey God? So what is your price of obedience? See, really what you mean is that you value and fear other things above God. And other things come first before Him. See, we could boldly teach this because it's gonna help you, and we're not taking special offerings today. We're gonna do it the same way we always do. People just go in obedience and do it on their own. Why? Because it's so important that you honor God. I wanna help you millennials. If you come and you don't tithe, God will never trust you with His people or His ministry if He can't trust you with His money. And you'll forever have a pretend ministry to your friends, and it will never be supernatural. I don't know why I'm talking over here. The young people sit over here typically. It will never be supernatural because you can't be trusted. See, when you withhold the tithe, you rob from God. But when you withhold offerings, you rob from you. See, the reason why a lot of people have problems with this and even this teaching, and if you're kind of clenched up right now, that should be an indicator that you have a money problem. But it's not so much that you have a money problem, you actually have a mammon problem. See, there, money's not evil or good. It's an inanimate object. It's neither. But there's a spirit, according to Scripture, that comes on money. And here's what it does, is it tries to get you to fear it more than God. See, because you serve the thing that you fear the most. That's why the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. See, you serve the thing that you fear the most. So a lot of people don't understand this, or they don't realize it's happening, but you actually are a slave to money because it's what you fear. And it's called mammon. I'll give you the scripture. Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters. This is Jesus. For either you will hate the one or love the other, or else you will hold on to one and despise the other. Ye, someone say ye, for all the King James onlys out there. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. About 10 years ago, I was sitting on my couch watching the news, and the Lord spoke to me, clear as day. He said, you serve mammon. I was like, I'm offended, Lord. I've been tithing since I was a kid. I don't think I've ever missed a tithe. I'm a generous giver. I start like justifying all the things that I've done and then, you know, giving to God. How can I serve mammon? How dare you say that to me? And all of a sudden he gives me a vision. And in the vision, there are these large scales, giant scales. And on one side of the scales was all of the prayers I had prayed for money. Lord, if I had this amount of money, I could do this ministry. If we had this amount of money, we could do this for you. If we had this amount of money, we could do that for you. And then on the other side is when I prayed and asked God for a miracle. So my prayers as a minister for years were, Lord, I need this money or a miracle. And every time you pray a prayer like that, what you're really saying is whatever God answers me first is the one I will serve. Can I give you some practical advice? Don't pray and fast for money. And if that's what you named your fast, change it. You got a week left. Watch. Money follows the supernatural. Watch. God never answered with money. He answered with miracles. Hey, throw your nets to the other side. You'll catch more than you could ever pull in. Hey, go fishing over there. There'll be a coin in a fish's mouth. Hey, talk to the rock. Water comes out. Hit the rock. Water comes out. Quail falling. Manna falling. Always creative miracles. Hey, go down here. There'll be a colt. Untie it. Hey, go here. Bake a cake and it'll continue to pour. Over and over, God responds in the supernatural. Ah. Third way to prepare for supernatural numeric growth is serving. Serving prepares for the supernatural growth because it allows others to encounter God. Mark 10:43 says this, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave or servant of all. For even the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve, and has given his life ransom for many others. What I love about our church and community is it's built off this wild team of servants. You can't walk the halls in this place and not see people serving. Out in the parking lot, helping people park, setting up flags. I love it when I see psalmists lead worship on a Sunday morning, and then the next week I see them in the children's leading worship to the babies, teaching them how to encounter God just like you. I love it when I see men in our church that lead ministries, holding babies in the nursery. I love it when I see altar workers laying hands and praying and prophesying, and our team of prophetic people at MC Connect every week praying over people and giving them words of life. This entire church has been built off people serving. There's a bunch of wild people in the Justice Reformation that are getting people out of human trafficking and getting them set free and delivered, encountering God on a daily basis. Our food bank has done over 52 million meals. Every single day during the week, there's somebody in there stacking boxes and bringing food in and serving people. This is a house that's been built on serving. See, when we serve one another, when we prefer one another, it allows other people to encounter God. Every time you serve in that amazing children's ministry, you're allowing some parent encounter God. Not only that, but I don't know if you've noticed in your kids, but I've noticed in my kids, this new spirituality and a spiritual maturity on them. Because we don't treat it like a kid's church. It's a children's ministry. I had a guy come up to me last week. He's like, man, your daughter was just ministering and prophesying and giving kids words. Like, that's what they're going to grow up as, normal. Come on, put your hands together. I was asked on my Tuesday Q&A on Instagram this week, how do I find up-and-coming leaders in the church? I said, it's easy. It's the one serving. One of the greatest kings of Israel, David, was serving his father in the fields, sheep. And then he served Saul playing the harp. The servants are the ones, watch, even if man doesn't see, God sees. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, our text. 2 Kings chapter 4. Make sure it's open in front of you. It says, now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take away my children. In this text, we have Elisha, who was the prophet of God. He was anointed from his spiritual father, Elijah. Elijah had been the prophet of Israel. confronted Jezebel, had her thrown down and defeated Jezebel, and then goes and anoints Jehu and anoints Elisha as the prophet to succeed him. Elijah is taking up in the glory of God, and his mantle or his tallit, his cloak falls down upon Elisha, the prophet of our text today. We're gonna do an anointing service here in a couple of weeks, and we will take a tallit that we got from Israel and we will put it over these new pastors that we're gonna ordain into ministry, because when there's an authority or a mantle that's given spiritually, we see it from Elijah to Elisha, and we see that transfer of mantles or transfer of spiritual authority. So Elisha was the prophet of God. Then we have a widow woman. We don't know her name, but we know that her husband was one of the prophets, or one that served the prophets. And we know that her husband was obviously a good man or a godly man, but it appears that he wasn't a good steward, because he did not have money for his children and his wife when he died, and he left them in this harsh situation. Now, according to the Mosaic law, if you could not repay your debts, your creditor could come and take your children to pay the debt, and they would be indentured servants to pay off the debt that you owed. So now this widow woman is going to Elisha, asking Elisha, can you help me? My husband was a godly man, but we're in this bind, and I need a miracle. Now, this was a miracle like Jesus walked in, because this was a miracle of mercy. And there was nothing in Elisha's path that this woman did for his ministry or in any way helped the advancement of the kingdom in that moment. But this was a woman that was in desperate need of a miracle, that went to the only place that she knew, the house of God and the prophet of God. So she cried out and said, I need a miracle. 2 Kings 4:2, Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, look at this, what is in your house? Look what she says, verse 2. She says, your servant has nothing, someone say nothing, except a jar of oil. I want you to hear this today. The enemy of faith will always keep you focused on what you don't have, not what you have. She goes to the prophet, and the prophet says, what do you have? And she responds, nothing. Too many followers of Jesus respond the same way. I don't have anything to give to God. I don't have anything that would be used from God. I'm not talented. I'm not this. I'm not that. But you know what? The three things I told you can do to advance numerical growth, every single one of us in this place have the ability to share our faith, to give supernaturally, to serve one another. We all have these different gifting and talents, and the enemy will try to keep you focused on what you don't have instead of what you do have. When COVID started the first week, world's going crazy, everything shut it down, I drove up to the building and I was laughing. It's like, Lord, you just gave us a 2,000 seat auditorium on 17 acres and a pandemic hits. And I started laughing. I was like, how are you gonna provide for this? Because I told the Lord before he gave us this building, if you give it to me, I'll give it back to you. It'll never be mine, it's always be yours. I wrote it down here right last night. I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said this, what's in your hand? And as soon as he said it, I knew what the Lord was talking about. He was talking about what loaves and fish were in my hand. See, all of us have something. We just don't realize what we have is more than something when we put it in the hands of God. Watch, in our hands, it's just something natural. But when we give it to Jesus, it becomes supernatural. And as soon as he said it, he said, what's in your hand? I said, we have a food bank. So I said to him, we had a guy in our church, he's holding babies right now serving. He had a guy in our church who was feeding hundreds of people out of his garage. And I went to him and I said, what can you do with the church? He goes, we could do millions. Watch, we took what we had and put it in the hands of God. The Lord said, you have media. We started an online campus. We have over 100 members from around the country. We have people from different nations that are members of Mercy Culture encountering God in community serving. We have thousands and thousands of people viewing these, getting set free. We got a message last week while we were doing Solemn Assembly. Another church in Florida was doing it with us every single night. And they said, don't stop. We're encountering God. I've had missionaries come from Argentina. And he said, the whole world shut down, but Mercy Culture didn't shut down, and we've been encountering God with you on a regular basis. Hear me, listen. It may not seem like much, but it's not to you, but it's supernatural in the hands of God. She said, I don't have anything but a little oil. She actually said it was a jar. She said it was a flask. See, oil in the Word of God, there's monetary value. They would have to use it for ceremonial cleansing and washing, but more than monetary value, there was spiritual value. See, oil represented spiritual authority. Psalms 133 says the oil goes from the head, down the beard, to the collar, to the robes. It symbolizes spiritual authority that goes down the body of Christ. Not only that, but anointing oil was used for holy, sacred moments and things. They took oil and they would anoint the tabernacle. They would anoint the sacred instruments. They would anoint the prophets and the kings. And they would show this is a sign of God's hand, God's presence, his manifest supernatural anointing on your life. See, in 1 Samuel, I believe it's 10. I didn't write it down. 1 Samuel 10, I believe, where King Saul, the king that man asked for. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. The kings that man asked for are the most dangerous. And they took him and they anointed him with a flask of oil. Now it's interesting because the widow woman said, I only have a jar or flask of oil, if you study that in the Greek. And a flask was this, it was a personal size usage. They anointed Saul, watch, only with enough oil for him. But Saul never had his heart set on the things of God. His heart was always focused on him. He only cared about people singing about him. He only cared what people thought about him. The crowd's applause moved him and their boos swayed him. Watch, so he lived for the praises of people. Watch, his anointing was only to serve him. So in 1 Samuel 16, when a ruddy teenage boy named David, who was serving his father and king, was anointed, they brought the boy and they brought him in. And the scripture says that they took a horn of oil. It's in your notes if you texted notes. They took a horn of oil. A horn was this large container with enough oil for many people. And what happened was, is when they dumped it on his head, it spread from his head, down his face, onto his robes, down his legs, into his sandals, and onto the ground. And watch, when he walked away from that moment, you could see a trail of the oil. You could see a trail of the anointing. Watch, because when you have a horn of oil, when you get anointed, watch, for more than you, more than your ministry, more than your desires, but you start getting anointed for people. You start getting anointed for kingdom. You start getting anointed for cities. You start getting anointed for nations. Watch, they could see the anointing. There was a trail of it. She said, I only have enough oil for me. The prophet said, then oil's not the problem. You don't have an oil problem. You don't have an anointing problem. You have a vessel problem. He said, go get as many vessels you can. Look at scripture. It says not a few. He said, go borrow vessels. But not just any vessels. He said, go get, or not just any kind of vessels. He said, go get empty vessels.
Now, when he's talking about getting vessels, he's not talking about, scripture's not just talking about jars. It's not just talking about pots. See, because when scripture talks about vessels, it's not just jars and pots, but scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:7 that we are, or this treasure is in earthen vessels. Watch, we people are vessels. Here's what the prophet said. He said, you have anointing, but you don't have people. You have a personal anointing, but you need more vessels. And here's what he said. I want you to go get a specific kind, empty. Watch, vessels that don't have the oil in it. Vessels that don't have an anointing in it. Watch, vessels that don't know the Holy Spirit. Vessels that haven't been filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, church, what we are going to do at Mercy Culture in 2021 is we're going to bring vessels in this house that are empty. And we're going to take our personal daily encounter of oil and we're going to begin to pour them into vessels, watch, that need the power of God. He said this, watch, as soon as you start pouring, all of a sudden something supernatural is going to take place. You say, I don't see God moving in my life. It's because you're not pouring yourself out. Watch, mammon has you afraid of just what you have right here. This is my savings. This is my money. This is my anointing. This is my, I'm going to hide and go in the mountains for the rest of my life. This is what I have. Watch, watch, watch. This is where faith comes in. You have to take what you have and you have to pour it out. Watch, expecting nothing in return. Watch, I'm going to give everything I have away. I'm going to give songs away. I'm going to give ministries away. I'm going to give things away. I'm going to give passion away. I'm going to give words away. Do you ever heard someone say, well, that was my word? Give it away. Give your sermon away. Give everything you have. What can you, what do you have to pour out on something that's empty? Watch this. Scripture said, when the vessels stopped coming is when the oil stopped. Worship team, come and join me. When we stop bringing people into his presence is when the oil stops. Who have you brought into the presence? Who have you poured yourself out on? Who have you served? Do you have a passion for souls? Can you see it in the eyes of the clerk? Can you hear it in the voice of your waitress? When you're doing business with people, do you feel the void of the emptiness? So many people living in fear because they don't know God. This church is going to supernaturally, numerically grow because this church are going to bring people that need the presence of God. The presence of God is here. Hear this cry from your pastor. I don't want the oil to stop flowing. Do you? We have to bring them. And here's the promise. We say it as a joke. It's not a joke. It's like this every week. It's like this every week. What do we mean? He's here. His presence is here. His power is here. The anointing of God is here. With everything in me, I don't want it to stop. Sometimes when you have a large church, people could only focus what's on the inside. We were sitting in an executive meeting 2 weeks ago. We said, we need to just give money away. In one meeting, we sold $20,000 in other local churches. We said, we have to look outside of what we're doing here. We have to be focused
on what's not in this building, but the people on the outside. The Lord told me on a prayer run that his heart is turned towards Fort Worth. Is yours. If you will take the oil that you have and freely pour it out, his power will flow through you. You know what's wild about this story? When she had poured everything she had out, there was so much left over that it paid her debt, and she lived on it with her sons for the rest of their lives. If our anointing would be not about us, but about everybody else, empty vessels, watch, it will sustain us for our entire lifetime. Church, this is the year of the supernatural. Hear this word. This is the year. Beyond your ability will happen. Faith will arise. This is the year that you will personally, spiritually grow beyond where you ever thought you would. You will forgive who you never thought you could. There will be physical healings. There will be emotional healings. You will look at yourself a year ago and it will feel like a different person. That's how much you will grow. I feel this so strong in my spirit. The years that you wasted and the enemy stole, in this supernatural year, God's going to give it back to you. And this is a year of supernatural numeric growth. That people that don't know God and don't know his spirit are going to get filled. If you've noticed, the red carpet's out. We tried to get the carpet in here, but we had to fix some things on the floor and we couldn't get in time for church. So I came in here last night about 8 o'clock. The worship team was finishing up. And I took a pen, a marker, and I started writing at this altar what I'm believing for in the supernatural. How I'm believing to supernaturally grow. And who I'm believing to be supernaturally saved, set free, and delivered. And I want to give you an opportunity to do the same thing. If the ushers and the hosts can begin to pass out pens all over this place, make sure we serve our friends in the balcony. Is it carpet up there still? You might have to come down here. As they're handing out pens, hear my voice. I want to invite you into a holy moment, a moment of faith. Even if you're not a member of our church, I want to invite you to join us. And we are going to, underneath the carpet of this sanctuary, we're gonna activate faith for the supernatural. I want you to write down on this floor what scares you. What is so big it's impossible that it would only be God if it happened, and that's what you're believing for.
Ooh.
There's individuals, I just heard the Holy Spirit so strong. There's individuals in this room that what he is asking you to do isn't millions, it's billions. Watch, but a dollar sign will never be on it. It will just be the assignment that he told you to do. There's individuals in this room that are taking ground. Someone's supposed to write down cities that they're believing for on this ground, nations that they're believing for on this ground. What supernatural thing are you standing in the gap for? Second thing to write down is, what are you believing God to do supernaturally in you? What healing?
What deliverance? What freedom do you need? And the third is, who are you believing God to supernaturally save?
I'm talking about the person that you thought is farthest from God. If you're watching on the online campus, you're going to talk to the online campus pastors and they're going to get your information and we're going to write your things down here too. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do. You can go anywhere in this sanctuary where there's floor. I want to invite people in the balcony. I know it's a little bit of a trip down. Come, write down. You can see in the first service, things have already been written. What I noticed last night when I was doing this, I couldn't write it if I wasn't on my knees. This is a holy moment. You're free to move anywhere where you want to. You can go to the altar. You can do it right at your seat right now. I want to release you right now. Go talk to God.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.